This is a CKTZ News Update. I'm Louis Belcour.
This December, a Cortez local business was named world finalist in an international competition for their fine chocolate. Black Jaguar Chocolate was founded by locals Scott Patterson and Emily Lasky, who began making chocolate from ingredients they found locally in Nicaragua, where they resided. They moved to Cortez during the pandemic and brought their business and their connections to their cacao sources with them. Black Jaguar's dark drinking chocolate scored 82.5 out of 100 in the International Chocolate Awards, an independent competition recognizing excellence in fine chocolate worldwide. The competition used the IICCT scoring system, which is tuned to match the scoring scale used in specialty coffee. I spoke with Scott Patterson, co-founder of Black Jaguar Chocolate, about their recent win and their roots in Nicaragua.
Hi, I'm Scott Patterson, and my partner is Emily Lasserty, and we live here on Cortez Island.
And tell me about your local business you've been managing recently, and what's the name of your guys' chocolate business?
Oh, we're Black Jaguar Chocolate. We were living in Nicaragua and got into making chocolate from the cacao beans right from the trees down there, and that sort of evolved a business that we had in a little surf down there, selling chocolate to Europeans because no local chocolate was available, so that's how we started.
And how did you bring it over into Canada?
When COVID happened, the tourism from Europe really slowed down, and we came back here and then discovered an importer who was able to bring the same cacao beans that we were using in Nicaragua up here to Canada. So we started getting new equipment and started it up here, and everyone loved it, so it was just taken off from there.
And what's so special about the beans themselves? I'm sure they're great quality, and you've sourced the quality, so you can confirm what's so special about them.
We had been traveling through South and Central America over a 7-year period seasonally, and then we settled full-time in Nicaragua. And everywhere in our travels from Mexico all the way through down in the Amazon, we kept encountering cacao beans all over the place in little markets and bricks of cacao paste and things like that. So I had gotten into making cacao drinks everywhere we went and noticed there was quite a difference in the quality. And when we settled full-time in Nicaragua to have our daughter, she was born there, so we took a permanent residence there at that time. And then I started searching around Nicaragua because I knew that on the international stage, Nicaraguan cacao was starting to win some big awards, like a company in Iceland had won the best overall in the world some years before. And that led me to some people from Denmark who have a big nursery, and they've got like over 20 different varieties of cacao trees. So similar to apples, there's many different kinds of cacao trees. And they had all taken these trees from the jungle, from the rainforest, isolated them to have particular qualities, and then were reproducing them in their own nursery, and then taking them back into the jungle and planting them under the canopy of the shade of all the other trees, and then working with the local indigenous people on harvesting them and fermenting them and drying them. So when I found these people, they were the people I was looking for. And so I sampled all the different varieties of cacao they had, and I selected this particular one that we work with as being the most interesting for us.
What about this specific bean did you really like?
There's a whole language now for cacao tasting, similar to wine tasting or scotch tasting, which I haven't actually fully comprehended yet. But basically, they say you in a little room, it's like a laboratory, and they put a little spoonful of each different variety, and then you close your eyes and like just go through watching the flavors unfold, because cacao of this type, they call it fine cacao, is very complex in its flavors. Like it's fruity and it's floral and it's earthy, and there's all this whole language to it. It's totally subjective, but just when I went through them all, this one in particular really stood out. And then I was also really interested in where it was growing, because they're grown throughout the country, but this particular tree, they had selected a certain region. It was a biosphere reserve, and I found out it's the second largest rainforest of the Amazon, and hardly anyone even knows about it. It's this huge protected area called the Basawa Biosphere Reserve on the border with Honduras and Nicaragua. And the environment is super incredible there. So when I found out that's where these trees were being grown, we focused in on that even more.
So tell us about this international competition. How did you get involved and how'd you do?
I didn't really expect much. They really raised the bar. They've got international chefs now from all over the world, and they're trying to promote craft chocolate on a global scale, which is going very well. Like, it started as a small thing in the United States maybe 15 years ago, people buying direct trade sourcing, similar to the coffee that went on. They went right to the farms, they found certain varieties, they brought it back home, and then they basically built the equipment and taught themselves how to make chocolate from the tree all the way through to the bar, which up until that point had always been done in huge industrial factories in a secretive way where nobody really still knows exactly what goes on in there. And then that created like a grassroots movement that's spread all over the world now. Pretty much there's entries from everywhere now that comes in, and there's thousands of producers, and it's become, they really raised the bar. So in 2019 with our company in Nicaragua, we got a bronze for our dark chocolate, but then we entered the Americas this year. We were a few percentage points away from winning anything, and then we entered the world for our drinking chocolate and didn't really expect much. But then when they put us in the world finalists, that was pretty cool because we're still a very small micro company with very simple equipment, but it really speaks for the quality of our cacao that we get. So our job, and then they gave us some really useful feedback. I mostly entered because they give you a very long evaluation of what to work on and what to improve. Everything from the technique of like the texture of the chocolate all the way through to the ratio of ingredients that you put in for flavoring and a bunch of other factors that involve like the roasting and the winnowing and all this other things. So I entered mostly to receive feedback, and I didn't really expect we would get noticed, but then we made it to the finalists with a pretty high score. So that's a pretty good place to be working from.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, just shows you the value of the work you guys did sourcing the beans. What's the international competition called?
The International Chocolate Awards is the name of it. And they have regional competitions all over the globe. And then from those regional competitions, they select the winners, and then they can enter the world. So the world finest, it distills down to like the top producers in the world.
Well, congratulations. And I've tasted the chocolate, and it's incredible. I'm not surprised at all you guys are being recognized. You know, I think the Cortez community is really happy to have you guys around. That's great. So that feedback from the competition seems so valuable. What did you learn from the feedback that was given?
The one thing is, if you're making something for a competition and you know that this product you're making in that moment is going to be entered in the competition, you put potentially more attention into what you were doing. As it was, because we had to ship it to Europe, we had no warning at all. It was just like, okay, you got to drop ship it today, otherwise it's not going to make it in time. They don't give you much time. So we literally had to walk to a store shelf in the Cooties and pull whatever was there off the shelf that had been sitting there for we don't even know how long. And I don't even know what batch it was, because it changes from batch to batch. That was pretty cool because it was really random. But what it is, something to do with, they want it ground finer. Like everything's stone ground, and all of the ingredients that go in have to get ground in these granite stones. And for the flavor also changes as it's grinding. So one of the feedback was just like, grind it longer, get it finer, which the bigger equipment you have, it makes it easier to do it. But we're on a micro scale, so I'm using these really small grinders. But we're working on scaling up to some bigger grinders that'll make a more fine, because it's like the texture and the mouthfeel of it. And then they had also mentioned like the ratio of, because we're using a traditional Mexican recipe, which is actually Montezuma's recipe from the Spanish explorers documented it. So we recreated Montezuma's drinking chocolate recipe as best we could with a couple substitutions. And they had mentioned that, yeah, like we should work on refining the ratio of certain ingredients that were in that to balance it out. Because these are chefs, right? So they're like, notice these details. So that kind of thing. And I haven't gone over all of it yet. One of them is the astringent part, which would that come from, because the cacao beans get cracked and then you have to remove the husk. And you want a certain amount of husk in there because that's got the theobromine in it, which is what gives you the stimulating effect. But it also adds a slight astringent taste. So it's like you can control how much or how little of the husk remains in when you grind it. So they're recommending, yeah, like remove more of the husk. So that kind of thing.
Interesting. Anything you want to share or say to the Cortez community while you're on the line?
Just thanks for all the positive feedback and support and all the people who have mentioned how much they love it. And we love it too. So we're really happy to share it with us. And it feels like a real gift that we discovered down there in Nicaragua to be able to bring back here and share with people in this kind of way. And we're learning, Harvard University just came out with a study this year that they're calling it groundbreaking on the benefit to heart health. So everyone kind of relates to chocolate as a heart medicine, but there's actually quite scientific part to that now that if anybody's interested, you could check it out. Just look into the Harvard Cattell study on heart health. And it turns out if it was a pharmaceutical, it'd be like a multi-billion dollar potential patent. But because it's cacao, and especially in this form like this, there's like enormous health benefits to it as well that people could look into if they're interested.
Okay, so where can people find Jaguar Chocolate if they want to try it themselves? And do you guys ship at all?
Yeah, we do. We have a website that has some really nice photo gallery of where the cacao trees grow and us down there with the people and stuff. But you can get it on our website by mail, or you can come to the Friday market. We're there every Friday market at Manson's Hall.
And what's the website?
BlackJaguarChocolate.com.
Okay, thank you so much for your time.
Okay, yeah, thanks.
Louis Bocor, CKTZ News, Cortez Island. CKTZ News is brought to you by the Local Journalism Initiative, the program funded by Heritage Canada and administered through the Community Radio Fund of Canada.